The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
They're screwed, basically. They're screwed at the quarterback position, and they deserve to be screwed because I've said that is the worst personnel decision amongst 32 teams in the offseason.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Victory Monday here on Birds 365. The Philadelphia Eagles are back in the win column where they belong. They get the win yesterday over the Minnesota Vikings in a Week 7 matchup and a perfect, damn near perfect performance from QB1 Jalen Hurts. We're going to break it all down for you here today on Birds 365. Don't forget to hit that like button on your way in. We got to get to at least 250 likes today. Johnny Mac, how you doing on this Monday morning, my friend?
Yeah, perfect by NFL rating systems, 158.3, which makes no sense, but we'll leave that off to the side. But as good as you're going to play for the quarterback, no doubt about it, which is ironic. We were talking before the game. Not that it was a surprise. I mean, it was pretty evident to us down there last week. The goal coming into this game was to get the running game going, and it goes the opposite direction. And the passing game has again, by NFL standards, a perfect game. Such, and that's the term we used before we jumped on here, such a weird team. Such a weird team. Unique, weird. It doesn't make any sense. And I got to try to make sense of it. They go in the whole game plan, run, get the running game going. Then they're throwing the football all over the lot against the second-ranked pass defense in the NFL. It makes no sense other than it was a brilliant, brilliant performance.
No doubt about it, John. It was really good performance in the passing game. It is a weird football team. The quarterback, is an interesting player to cover. I was joking online. It's like, he has his best passing performance of the year versus Brian Flores and the Vikings of all teams. Sometimes it doesn't make a whole lot of sense with Jalen Hurts. But at the end of the day, he delivered an absolute masterclass yesterday, connecting with everybody. Everybody was involved. John, Devontae Smith had an amazing game. A.J. Brown obviously had two touchdowns in the game and iced the game on that big catch at the end over Isaiah Rodgers. Poor Isaiah Rodgers. You were talking about him pre-show.
Woo! Man. Boy, that was a poor performance. And, there's a lot of talk about Isaiah this week for obvious reasons. And I'm not talking about just getting, like, he was making bad mistakes, like rookie level mistakes on the essential game winner to AJ. The Vikings had the right call on for that play. They had sunk Josh Metellus' zone underneath. And AJ was running a slant and go, stutter and go, whatever you want to call it. And because you have that underneath help, you got to be careful with that, the second part of the double move. And Isaiah just bit, even though he had the help underneath. That's like rookie stuff. And the Eagles took advantage of it, and deservedly so. But once you have that kind of performance, I think you start to lose a little confidence, and that's what probably went on. But, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown were just unbelievable. And, again, you're going to hear all this guy, well, why can't that happen every week? I mean, look around the NFL. There is no transitive property, as I said on the postgame show. I mean, the only thing that I thought coming into this game, I thought the Eagles were going to play well. I thought they were going to play differently, but I thought they were going to play well, and I thought they were going to win the game. And part of the reason is because they played so poorly against the New York Giants 10 days ago. That's just the way the NFL works. And you button things up, especially good teams button things up, and they're a good team. That's just how it works. Now, the Giants are coming in again. Boy, what a bad loss for them, man.
Whew. That was a crazy finish to that game.
Woo! But they're showing more signs of life. Again, the Eagles are a much better team, but they're showing. But, you know, like I said, bet the under on the perfect passer rating, even though it's the New York Giants. It's a confounding sport, but every once in a while, you just have it. And the Eagles had it yesterday in the passing game.
John, you always have an ability to bring us back to earth, whether down from highs or up from lows. Yesterday was obviously a big high for this Eagles offense. When you look a little deeper, how good was the performance? How much reason for optimism is there that this offensive passing game has maybe figured it out? We've been talking about the damn passing game for a year and a half now. 2 years for crying out loud. What'd you see yesterday in the passing game, John? Because it was a masterful performance. They deserve a lot of credit for that. Jalen Hurts was incredible in the game. Devontae Smith was, I mean, he is a stud receiver. I hope we continue to use him as much as he got used yesterday. Maybe not to that degree, obviously, but he is.
I'm going to be disappointed in that. No, they haven't figured it out. They had a great game. They had a 50-point game. That's what I compared it to. And you're not consistently – Will Chamberlain didn't score 50 consistently. He did 1 year, but almost. But Michael Jordan didn't score 50 consistently. You don't play like this consistently. It's not possible. So from that standpoint, if you're trying to carry over this performance, no. I mean, no, obviously that's not going to be consistent. I also think styles make fights. That was one of my points coming into the game. I don't think Minnesota's style matches up with the Eagles' style. Even the Giants is the worst team in the NFC East because they're built to compete with the Eagles. They play a better style against the Philadelphia Eagles. And you know, judging by the first game, they're going to let their defensive front go and handle things, and they're going to play a ton of zone. And it's going to be more difficult from the standpoint of not getting those mismatches with AJ and Devontae down the field. So as simple as that, one team's better than the other, but one team's built to beat the Eagles. Like I said, the other team's built to try to beat the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, right.
Just the way the NFL sort of works. And that's why you always see everybody will say divisional games, weird things happen. They do because you're familiar, you know, you understand the styles, you do right. Things in that direction. So I thought it was a nice style matchup, but again, it didn't unfold the way I thought it would. I thought the Eagles were going to pound them running the football, and they did the first drive.
And even by the post-game comments, that's clearly what they wanted.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. Yep. You know, there's no – Jalen said it. You know, that was the plan. And all of a sudden – and credit to the coaching staff for toggling and shifting. When you got a guy who's scoring 50, feed him the football. And Jalen Hurts was hot. And a lot of it, you know, it to me, the biggest plays of the game were, I think, was 3rd and 19, 3rd and 13, 3rd and 15.
Yep, all 3rd and longs.
Yeah, Minnesota is all – I think they'd given up 3 all year, 3rd and long. And they gave up 3 in this game. And it was all – wasn't on schedule. It wasn't on phase. It was all Jalen Hurts just extending and making a play.
Well, yeah, and John, one of the things I thought that stuck out to me most yesterday about Jalen's performance, many people will say, oh, he made the deep ball. I know he's capable of making that throw. I've seen him make it many times before. Yesterday, Jalen kept his eyes downfield so much, even when he escaped the pocket. And I think that's where he made so many great plays. And one of the things I think he was doing earlier in the year, for whatever reason, you know, maybe lack of confidence in the passing game or the receiver or whatever the case may be. I don't know what it was, but he would just run, you know, and yesterday I felt like he really kept his eyes downfield and looked for the play. And he made the play so many times. I thought that was a really positive a real big positive from Jalen's performance yesterday.
Yeah, that's always been a big part of his game. But that's something that doesn't necessarily carry over from game to game. Because a lot of things have to happen. You have to have a pass rush that isn't getting home, a pass rush that isn't disciplined, a pass rush that, because there were a couple times, if you look at those plays, like he was almost ready to give up because he was expecting the pass rush to be there. And he was expecting to go to the ground to protect the football. And all of a sudden he looks around, nobody's there, and he can extend the play. So, and that's why they call it off schedule. You know, it's not on schedule. So it's not something like the train's running on time. That's something you can't game plan. That's not the game plan. Hey, right. Jalen, go out and make a play, which is basically what it is. So that's the stuff when you talk about the highs and lows, you got to be, you know, you got to be careful with. You can't just count on that week in and week out. But when it happens, it's not only spectacular for the Eagles, it's demoralizing for the defense.
Right. But the chance of that happening is greater with a quarterback like Jalen.
Oh, sure. Obviously. You know, all those guys.
Game, yeah.
Lamar at a, you know, when he's healthy, Josh Allen, all those guys who can do that. And Jalen's at the top of the list with those guys. Yeah, it's a big advantage. It's plus one. Plus one is plus one for a reason.
Yep.
And it's a big help for the Philadelphia Eagles. But when we talk about, oh, the offensive coordinator play caller is terrible, or we talk about now it's great or everything's fine. No, it works both ways. When, you know, off schedule isn't the offensive coordinator or the play caller. That's just a guy making a play.
Well, speaking of the play caller, let's go there a little bit, obviously. There was a lot of talk after the game about Devontae Smith calling for that play that obviously he had the breakaway 79-yard touchdown on. How do you gauge that, John? Because obviously, you know, a lot of the rhetoric online is, oh, even the players have to call the plays that work. And, you know,
Saquon started that.
Well, the one thing that bothers me with it, John, is like some of it seems so simple to me, where it's like, if you're running every time you line Jalen under center, the defense can start to be able to pick up on that. So throw something at them that makes them have to guess. You know, it doesn't feel like it's that complicated to me. Obviously, a lot of people were looking, hey, Devontae called that play to Petullo Sox. You know how people are. What did you take of that with Devontae Smith's big play downfield in the comments after the game about it?
Not much. I mean, it's common in the NFL when players see something, they try to impart it to the coaching staff that hey, they're dropping a safety. Every time we do this, we have a shot to take it deep. That's what you want from your players. You want that feedback because they're the ones on the field doing it. And they see things often that coaches can't see certainly from the sideline. So A, no problem at all with it. B, you want that. You want high IQ football players. It's good to have that. And when you take advantage of it, that's a feather in the offensive coordinator's cap. To the point of, look, again, one of the things they changed because they wanted to get the running game going was they were under center a lot more. So number one, they're rarely under center. Usually when they're under center, it's a tush push. Well, so
good. I have an interesting comment about the under center stuff that I think might be being left out a little bit. Is another reason they were under center is because the center got hurt in the game and Brett Toth can't snap from shotgun or struggles at it?
Well, I mean, you laugh. He struggled with it. A bunch of guys have struggled with it.
Yeah, no, I'm not making fun of Brett Toth. I'm just saying simple. But
Minnesota had a center who's a guard tackle, and he had a bad snap that took the Vikings out of. So that happens all the time. But they were going to be under center with Cam Jurgens more. I don't know, maybe a little bit more to your point. But they were going to be under center more. So those trends, though, of course, when they're third and one, fourth and one, they're going to tush push. I mean, so again, the skewing of statistics in the NFL. By the way, we wake up today, DeMonte Smith is the sixth leading receiver in the NFL from a receiving yardage standpoint. That's what I'm talking about. Statistics, don't look at them. That's my advice to you. Look at them at the end of the season, and you know, maybe when the sample size is longer. Don't even look at them. One game can skew things so dramatically. And all we're talking about for does that dismiss that we're talking about for 6 weeks prior that the passing game wasn't that great? No. But to a lot of people, it does because they'll pick up the book and they'll say, oh, he's sixth in the NFL and he had 183 receiving yards.
Most in a game this season.
And certainly a career high as well. So phenomenal performance, but I'm just trying to point out that statistics skew things dramatically. But to your point about the center, they were trying to get the running game going. That was part of the game plan. It was part of the game plan with Cam. But obviously you shipped a little bit. Maybe, you know, Brett has struggled in the past. So I would say maybe, but I don't think a lot. They also used Fred Johnson as an extra blocker something like 10 times. So maybe in those plays, they would have been under center with Cam Jurgens. So maybe a little bit more, but I don't think drastically.
John, you're not going to like this, but I have to ask it. Should this team become a passing team? Hear me out. You come into that game yesterday and
I believe it's easier to win in the NFL to play like they played yesterday.
Well, hear me out though. You come into the game yesterday with the plan as stated by all the players that they want to run the football. You have one of the worst run defenses in football yesterday. You still couldn't run the ball well. Saquon Barkley had like 18 carries for 40-something yards. They had 46 total rushing yards in the game. That was the first game of Jalen Hurts' career as a starter that he didn't have any rushing yards in a game. And they make these plays. You get play action a little bit more. You get under center a little bit more, you know, and they're passing the ball well. Now, I'm not expecting a perfect passer rating or 21 or 19 to 23 every single week, but is it time to maybe shift the focus? And even if I know we talk about the quarterback and what, you know, what he wants to do or what the offense is built around him, but I almost feel like I'd rather do that and see what he's capable of rather than never even trying it. Our receivers are clearly capable. We got a great tight end, and the running game is just not working this year. It's not, I mean, we're 7 weeks in now, John. You know, he couldn't run versus the Vikings again. I think it's more the offensive line than Saquon, but still, it all goes into play when you're talking about the running game. I'm wondering if this team has to shift this year and start to win the game this way.
Well, there's two parts to that. My personal opinion is it's easier to win consistently the way they played yesterday, which, again, was not the plan. But, again, it's skewed by the fact that this had a Super Bowl vibe to it. And by that, I mean not the environment. The way Minnesota played was we're going to stop Saquon. We're going to stop the running game. As you pointed out, that includes Jalen Hurts. And we're going to leave AJ and Devontae alone. And just like the Super Bowl, it didn't work. And it was a zero-sum game for Flores, just like it was for Spagnuolo, which is why I didn't think people would copy Spagnuolo. I said that a bunch of times because it worked so poorly. And I don't think anybody's going to copy this plan because it worked so poorly. And those are two of the best defensive coordinators in football. And so it tells you what it does speak to what kind of talent the Eagles have to be able to toggle like that. But we have the same points. Like, this does not dismiss the consistency problems with this passing offense. Like, if you do it for three or four games, I'll start to entertain it.
Right. Which is fair, completely fair.
It would not surprise me if they show up against the Giants next week and have a shitty passing game. It would not surprise me because I've seen it.
Right.
Nothing surprises me with this team because they're so weird, so unique. But Yeah, I mean, I think I've talked about it a lot, and people said, well, McMullen's wrong. They won the Super Bowl, and I was wrong because I think that I'm all about margin of error, increasing margin of error, because I don't want it to be a one-score game. Look, they dominated that football game, and Minnesota was down 21-19 when Jalen made that 3rd and 13 AJ on the sideline, which I think in a lot of ways was the biggest play of the game.
I agree. I tweeted it out right when it happened. That was an incredible play.
That's because if they punt that football, I definitely think Minnesota's going ahead. I you know, they're going to move the – they were moving the football to 20-20, and they have a great kicker. They were going – Alabama guy for you, Xander. You should spike the football. That dude's good. But they were going to take the lead. And you know, their defense was playing poorly, the Eagles. But the game wouldn't have been over by any stretch of the imagination. But I think the momentum shifts. So, to me, that was the biggest play of the game. And I'm thinking to myself, how is this team in this game? Because the margin of error in this league is so small. So, right. Any way you can increase it. And you saw it in Denver with the Giants. I mean, they had, a 19-point lead entering the fourth quarter. And, you know, they took the lead back. And there was... But there was about under 3 minutes left. I was watching the end of that game, and they're running the football. They're being very conservative. First down, they're in field goal range. So they're setting up a field goal to take the lead, and they're going to give Denver 2 minutes or whatever. And I'm like, boy, that's a bad idea. You got to get a first down. You got to get a – and they just didn't try, and it bit them in the you-know-what. The margin of error, I say that to point it out, is so small in this league. Anything you can do to increase it, I think, is a positive. And that's why most teams, and that's why Jeffrey Lurie believes the easiest way to have sustained success is to have an explosive offense. Yesterday, they had an explosive offense. Does that translate? No, not. I mean, you got to see it for more than one game. Against a team leaving A.J. Brown. What about a team that just goes in, has a good front four, and says, I'm just going to play cover two all day?
Exactly. Drops a man into coverage. Well, I mean, Jalen was working the seam a little bit more yesterday. I mean that was my favorite throw of the day, the second touchdown pass to A.J. Brown, where it was on the seam.
Yeah, that was a good throw. But again, if you're playing a different team with a different setup, and whose just sole focus is to keep everything in front of them. Think old school Tony Dungy, Tampa 2. Then all of a sudden you got to be patient and you got to go down the field and you got no penalties, no missed throws, no missed fires. Not everybody plays the same way. That's why you can't put everything in the vacuum.
Yeah, right. It's tough. It's a tough sport to the gauge, John, in that realm. Real quick, John, thoughts on N'Kobe Dean's performance out there. Jahad Campbell lined up on the edge a little bit. Defense still has a long way to go. Obviously gave up quite a few yards yesterday, but did have two takeaways. And I'll tell you this. One of the reasons that I've been hard on Jalen Hurts is the only way this team goes the distance this year is if he gets back in the MVP conversation. The run game's not good enough right now, and the defense isn't good enough. Last year we won with the run game and the defense. This year, we're going to need a win with MVP Jalen Hurts returning to the field. He did yesterday. Your thoughts on the defense, though, John? What you saw yesterday? They did give up quite a few yards to Carson.
Yes, that's seven straight games. Jeff Kerr's going to get on. He's the stat guy. But that's seven consecutive games that they've been outgained, and they're 5-2. And it's stunning that they were outgained in that game, but they were. And really, I think it's similar to the offense early in the season. The defense was pretty bad from 20-20, giving up plays. But they made the big play. They made the pick six, which was Jalen Carter, I saw, got the game ball. But that is a Jalen Carter play, man. That is a Jalen Carter play. And
Fangio play too, the way he shuffled that, dropped him back in the coverage. Carson locked in on Justin Jefferson on Andrew McCuba, which he's not wrong to do, but Vic fooled him by dropping a
He didn't see Jelix at all. And Jelix, I mean, that's tough for but he's a former safety, so he's a little bit more equipped to do it. But so I'm not saying it was a great play by Jelix as well, but let's be honest, that's a Jalen Carter play. Who just and Carson, I would not be surprised if he didn't break ribs on that at all if it comes out today. And I think that affected him for the rest of the game as well.
It's going to be easier for that team to go back to JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, well, it's not easy because that you got one guy who's just a roller coaster. Everybody in Philadelphia knows. You got the full Carson Wentz.
You really did, man.
The dude
really
makes some plays, and you're like, wow. And then then he just makes some stupid plays, and it's like it's a roller coaster. There's no better, but he's better than JJ McCarthy. They're screwed, basically. They're screwed at the quarterback position, and they deserve to be screwed because I've said that is the worst personnel decision amongst 32 teams in the offseason. Sam Darnold wanted to play there. Daniel Jones wanted to play there. Aaron Rodgers wanted to play there. And I said, nope, we're going with JJ McCarthy. Doesn't get worse than that.
Yeah, that's egregious. All right, we're going to get to Jeff Curran here in a second. I'll rattle off real quick some super chats. Thanks, everybody, for being here this morning. Ingles, back in the win column. Peace is restored in Eagle Nation. Kyle Studer checking in. JM, how much of the run game troubles come from Steen? Toth struggling. Also, Cam and Landon just beat up. Saquon still shows burst. D is in backfield a lot. Yeah, I saw a stat yesterday. I forget what it was, but their percentage of being hit behind the line of scrimmage was crazy. The Vikings had 8 tackle for losses yesterday.
Well, they were selling out. That's why I said it was very Spagnuolo-like in the Super Bowl, and it didn't work again like the Super Bowl. So, I mean, part of they were really selling out, and that's because they know they couldn't hold up, playing a more normal style of run support. They're not a very good run support team, but I don't know what to think, but it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. The running game is bad. Individually, you look at the players, the offensive linemen, Lane's playing well. Jordan's playing well. Tyler's playing pretty well. Landon and Cam have been the banged up ones. They were great in pass protection. Great. Great.
Well, they're good and they've been good, decent in pass pro all year. It's the run blocking that they're struggling with.
Now, the back, Saquon specifically, was terrible in pass protection.
Oh, but, man. Yeah. With that.
Yeah, I leaned before this game, I leaned more towards the offensive line than Saquon, but now I'm starting to say, all right, something's going on with Saquon as well. He made that little jump cut where he got 4 yards out of nothing that should have been like a 3 yards loss where he looks like the old Saquon. But there's also, I mean, he's part of it. It's not just the offensive line. And right now, again, really in the entire Nick Sirianni era, they could run the football. And right now, they can't run the football. It's a problem. It's a problem. It's not something people want to talk about today because the passing game is so good. But if you show up, in theory, that Tampa 2 team I'm talking about, if they're out there, and they show up and they can stop the run, with a lighter front, it could be an ugly performance.
No doubt. Here's Joshua. Give Hurts credit when pressure is on, he answers. Joshua, there's no doubt about that, my friend. Sean says, Saquon has always been home run or pretty average. Well, John talked about that before last year, and people gave him a lot of shit for it. Sean checked in again. Off subject, but I think Zach Ertz should make the Hall of Fame, y'all. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I have no idea, but doesn't feel like a Hall of Fame player.
I think he's very good. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame player.
Hall of very good. There's a lot of those guys. Lauren Cramps, he says, the O-line still giving Billy Bob the night Lance Harbor got hurt vibes.
Varsity Blues reference.
Yeah, there you go. Varsity Blues is a movie that I know.
You need Billy Bob up front.
Here's Roll Philly. How's the crow taste, guys?
I picked the Eagles to win. What crow am I eating?
I don't know.
I picked the Eagles to win.
I'll tell you what, everybody should – we need Jalen Hurts to play like an MVP this year. This team ain't going where people think they're going. So he's got to do that week in and week out because
– Well, you can't do that week in and week out.
No, but he's got to be better than he was weeks one through six.
Why can't people say that?
I don't
know
why people can't say that. They just want to be right. So it's like, go eat crow. It's like, no, this is what we need from Jalen Hurts, who you guys tell me is elite every day. We need him to be elite if this team's going to go the distance. JT sees as grade the safeties. Thank you.
I thought Reed played pretty well, and I think that was the best game Reed's played all season. I thought the outside corners had a lot of trouble with Addison. I thought Makuba had the one big miscue where he missed the tackle on Jefferson, turned, it should have been like an 8-yard gain, turned into a 40-yard gain, but that's a great player. I thought they were fine overall, and they did a good job in the red zone. Well, everybody did a good job in the red zone. Boy, that one holding call, that was brutal though. So it wasn't quite as good as it looked on paper, but they were still very good. So I think it was a unique game in that they gave up a lot of yards, 20-20, but they were great in the red zone.